Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is Martin Zender. I'm back from my deep South Florida bunker back here in the Great White North. So now I know what Dan Sheridan's been suffering through this entire week. Man, do I feel sorry for you. How you doing? Are you surviving? How you doing, man?
I'm still cold. Very chilly.
Yeah, well, my flight was... They turned around my airplane. Get this. Took off from D.C., via Fort Lauderdale. They're heading for Johnstown, 9:30 last night. We got 10 minutes from the Johnstown, Pennsylvania airport. They turned it around mid-flight. Wheel screeched. We switched. They did a 180, headed back to D.C. because there was so much freezing ice and snow and rain and slush and everything. They couldn't even land. So we went back to D.C., and I could barely get back today. So, a fine welcome. But I have to say, Clyde and Nathan Pilkington were here waiting for me with open arms. So, there's nothing wrong with the people here. It's just the damn weather.
Hey, listen, you had Florida. All I keep hearing over the last few days is we got bad windows. You know, we can't fix our windows. Too expensive around here. But all you hear is this howling noise in the window. I'm standing by the front door now. Can you hear it? Listen.
Yeah, what do you got, a windshield factor
in here
now?
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
That was my front. That's at my front door, that sound, man.
Dude, you got a windshield
it's
factor.
It's a howling wind in the freezing cold temps.
Oh, that's crazy. You know, I keep telling people on my show, I said, I'm not here to enjoy the weather. You know, we're here to do a job. Thank goodness, because the weather's not very enjoyable up here.
Well, we got a great topic ahead of us today, don't we?
Yes, we're going to be talking about what are we going to be talking about?
We're talking about Christ as the Word. Yesterday we talked about Christ as the image of the invisible God.
Right.
And trying to get this teaching straight as we're debunking the myths of modalism and Trinitarianism. And today we're going to look at a verse that's been so from its context. And that's John chapter 1, with Christ as the Word.
Hey, one second. Since we just buzzed past modalism and Trinitarianism, why don't we give those two things in a nutshell, just in case people aren't aware. This is the way I understand it, is a Trinitarian believes in three separate beings, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three separate beings, each of them are somehow God. They're all one. They're all God.
Yeah, and they use the phrase God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. But they do it. They have to do it in a very reverential, churchy way.
Yeah. Oh, it was funny. Jerry Visser back in Colorado Springs. He's very irreverent toward this doctrine, which he very well should be. And he doesn't say the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says Laddio, Daddio, and the Spook. I thought that was pretty funny, man.
Oh, couldn't have said
Daddy-o,
better myself,
yeah.
Man. Daddy-o. I love it.
Daddy-o, Laddy-o, and the Spook. That's Jerry Visser. Thank you, Jerry, in Colorado Springs. So,
Amen. One sister used to say about you and I that we are irreverent toward the institution, but reverent toward God, and that's the way it should be.
I'll own up to that any day.
Yeah, not the God of theology.
No, not the God of theology. So that's
well, you got it right. Trinitarianism, essentially, they say three persons, one God,
yeah,
et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah,
go ahead, define modalism for us.
Yes, modalism would be there's one being who operates in three different modes, and the way I compare that to is like Clark Kent. He's a mild-mannered reporter for the Daily Globe or whatever stupid paper he works for, and then he goes into the telephone booth and becomes Superman. So he's one being that he has a different mode, and so God is one being, but he puts on his Jesus suit, and then he can be Jesus. Then he puts on his Holy Spirit suit. He can be the Holy Spirit. And then when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, he changes clothes really quick, and he prays to himself. He prays to himself, and then he puts on his God suit, and then he comes back and puts on his Jesus suit. It's just as absurd as, Daddy-o, Laddy-o, and the Spook. It's just a different brand of absurdity. So that's that.
Yeah, I think there's a better illustration of that. Do you remember Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour?
Absolutely.
And Bugs Bunny played baseball against the team, and he was pitcher, catcher, outfielder, the whole works.
I just saw that one not long ago.
There you go. That's like the Trinity. You know, Bugs. You know, there are three. It's one person in three different modes. In this case, nine different modes, whatever.
Nine different modes.
Yeah, that is the doctrine of modalism in a nutshell.
Bugs Bunny played every position on the team. Yeah, that was great.
And the funny thing is, both those doctrines, modalism and Trinitarianism, can be made fun of because they're so stupid. Because it requires some kind of spooky interpretation to get it. You have to just take it. You just have to believe it without understanding it. But with the doctrine we're teaching here, the scriptural teaching doesn't take a genius to figure it out. We teach there's one God, the Father, and His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. What's so difficult about that?
No, that's why we can understand it, is because it's not complicated.
Yeah, exactly.
So
all right, well, we define Trinitarianism and modalism. What's next?
Well, we're going to go to John chapter 1, which ironically is a verse that modalists, Bugs Bunny people, and Trinitarians use to so-called prove their teachings, but this verse actually proves the opposite. And a lot of the problem comes with, no surprise, bad translation. So we're gonna take you through John chapter 1, the first three or four verses there, and we're going to break it down, and we're going to analyze these words. And you're going to find that this passage, rather than proving the Trinity, actually proves the opposite.
Yeah, and when you get this right, when you I remember when I first learned this, and I'm thankful to God for Adolf Ernest Nock for giving me the light on this passage, because this passage to me was shrouded in mystery until I actually read an account from him that really helped me with this. And now these passages come to life; they make sense, and so I think this is going to be an important study here.
Yeah, do you have your King James in front of you, or you got the Concordant?
I have both. I got the King James memorized in John. So
you have the whole King James memorized. Yeah, I know.
Just about. I don't want to recite it because I'm trying to forget a lot of it.
Right.
But I read it so many times. It was one of the jobs I had to do way back when, and I wanted to memorize the whole Gospel of John. I don't know if I can still do everything, but I could probably recite the whole first chapter at least at this point, many of the others.
Well,
so
I think it would be helpful to run a side-by-side comparison. Here.
All right. Well, let's you. I'll handle the King James, and then you can read along with the Concordant version. So why don't we do that?
Okay. All right. Who's going to start off here?
I'll start. Why don't we give the bad first?
Give the bad first. Okay. That'd be you.
All right. And I'll start with the first two verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God.
That is really confusing.
Yeah.
I'll have to admit, the Concordant sounds confusing, too, when you first hear it. I'm going to read those two verses from the Concordant version. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was toward God, and God was the Word. This was in the beginning toward God.
Yes.
What do you got for verse 3?
All things were made by Him. And apart from Him, not one thing that was made that was made.
Yeah, okay, Concordant says, all came into being through it, the Word, and apart from it, not even one thing came into being which has come into being.
Okay.
All right, so in the beginning was the Word, John 1:1. Now, the Word is, in the Greek, logos, the expression.
Right.
And my understanding of this, and I think this is yours too, Dan, is that God, you mentioned this, I think we talked about this yesterday, God is invisible.
Right.
The imperceptible God. And in order to be perceived by soulish beings, He must have an expression, or He must have a word, a logos, and He created it. And that would be Jesus Christ. And here, Christ is called the Word. And I always look at Word as being Christ here.
And I would agree. And what I would say is this in this verse, that if you, in the Concordant Version, the word "the" is in the light face.
Yes.
Never do we learn in Scripture about the absolute beginning. We can't comprehend it. But I would say that if we were to put this, if we were to put this in modern terminology, as it were, to paraphrase, to begin with, or in beginning of revelation, was the word. The subject here is God's revelation. And it begins with the word.
Yeah, because if the word "the" was in dark type here, in the beginning, we don't know. I mean, God had no beginning. God the Father,
exactly,
the source of everything, through whom, out of whom all is. He never had a beginning. So this is a beginning. It's very vague here. I mean, it's a beginning, which is why
it is a beginning. And the context is revelation. And by the way, the word "was" is referring to the past. And so, remember, John is an apostle of the circumcision. So his audience are Jews who are familiar with the Hebrew Scriptures. And so John's intention here is to show people all those appearances of God. Every time you read in the Old Testament, Yahweh said, or Elohim said, or anything like that, this is the word that's being spoken of.
Yeah, you're getting ahead of us here. That's going to be at the end of verse 1 there, and the beginning of verse 2. That's an important point for sure.
Yes.
And that's John's whole, yeah. We got to decide what John's trying to tell people here, because people think John's trying to prove that Jesus Christ is God, but he's not. He has a whole different motive here. We got to touch on, before we get that, we got to touch on this one point, and our time's running out already, and that disappoints me because we're on a roll here, but in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was toward God. What's the KJV say there, Dan?
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God.
With God and toward God. Well, to be honest with you, toward is more pictorial, and it's a more accurate translation, but as far as what we're trying to show you here, there's not much difference, is there? Because this very word, whether the word toward or with, disproves the Trinity. Because if we're talking about one being, the same being can't be toward itself.
True.
It can't be with itself. It can't even be with itself. The fact that we're using either the word with or the word toward, we're looking at two distinct beings. We're looking at the word, the expression, and the word was toward God. Whether you say toward or with, this proves that we have two beings. You can't be toward or with yourself.
Exactly. And I also, and to give this, again, giving it the light, and you made a comment at the beginning, which was true, that this is a confusing passage in the Concordant Version, but only because of the centuries of false teaching connected with John. When you hear a verse translated correctly, it's going to sound weird, you know? But here the idea is, in the beginning was toward God, meaning the word points to God. The word's function is to point toward the God of Scripture.
Amen. We're going to get into more on this. This is a huge point, that the function of Christ is to point toward God. His whole mission was to point toward God. Tomorrow, we're going to look at the two differences between the King James and the Concordant. King James says, "And the Word was God." Concordant says, "And God was the Word." Huge difference between those two things. We're going to get into that tomorrow. Man, Dan, I just love doing this teaching with you.
Yeah, this is awesome. And we got a big surprise to tell people about next week, don't we?
Yes, we have a huge surprise. We're going to make you wait till tomorrow to tell you about it. So tune in tomorrow for TBS, The Big Surprise. In the meantime, I'm Martin Zender with Dan Sheridan. Be here tomorrow.